All right, it is going.
All right, Cultural Committee, I'm going to call this meeting back to order. We had gone through sections 12, 13, 32, and 38, and we were approaching section 41, which is the museum. And I see we have some museum personnel here. Ms. Marla, are you on?
Yes, Chairman, it's the course. Chair Big Horse, can you hear me?
Congresswoman Shaw?
Just at least on my agenda, it shows Section 41 is the membership department.
Chair. Chairman,
yes.
This is Angela. I think that was discussed yesterday, so just skip it, please. It was assigned to the membership committee, so I'm not quite, I can't think of, I do know the reason that one of the programs was placed on culture and commerce, but I don't recall a good reason why membership would be on your agenda. So please just disregard that.
Chair.
Yes.
I believe Congresswoman Shaw is maybe looking at the original agenda, but it has since been amended and membership's not on it anymore.
Oh, thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay. And section 41 is museum.
42.
41 was language.
Chair.
Yes.
41 was membership, but it's no longer on the agenda.
Okay, so we're on 42. Section 42, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
That is the museum?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Okay. Let me get sorted out here. Hold on, I'm just about there. Okay, Ms. Marla?
Yes, Chairman.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
committee, do you have your budgets? Second speaker?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay.
I think we have the budget worksheet form dated 8/13. And then we just don't have the annual plan. So
right.
I'm assuming Casey or Jeannie will bring those to us, I'd imagine.
Okay. Well, we'll open up and have Ms. Marla start. And give us an overview of what's going on at the museum.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you very much. Well, thank you very much for your time. We have, at the museum, like the other departments, have had, you know, some challenges due to some of the changes in the way that operations function because of COVID, but also we've been working really hard to address those, adapting the way that we operate so that we can continue to provide services. We've been quite busy over the past year. I wanted to start off with some wonderful things that we've been doing. And I think starting out by looking at our operations on December 18th, 2020, we opened an exhibition called Creativity 2020, Art from the Community. And this exhibition was in person. People were able to come into the museum and view it, but we also had a virtual component to that that's online. And so we had photographs of all of the artwork. We had, so in these two exhibits that we've had at the museum in this past year that were on the heels of the veterans exhibit that we did, and we were supporting 38 and promoting 38 Osage artists in them. And it's really incredible to have that number of people and to have an institutional space that we do at the museum to give them a high caliber presentation format and also interpretive texts and labels and things like that. And then, and also the just all of the parts that become part of that. So on December 18th, we had a virtual opening and we had visited studios of the artists and we had about 100 people attend that. And then the museum was opened after that. And then the other larger thing, we had a collaboration with the Osage Nation Foundation and opened Voices from the Drum on July 23rd, 2021. We had Rock Pipeston, the singers that he's been working with, and some of the young people sang and they drummed during that opening. We had more than 250 people come to that opening. We partnered with the Osage Nation Foundation. We curated the exhibit. Of course, they initiated that project, and that is going to be a touring exhibition that goes around the country. And we worked with a group called SiteWorks to create a first-rate exhibition design. The museum curated the text, interviewed all the artists, and put all of that together. So we have a package deal that's ready to go from museum to museum. We're looking at major museums with Native American collections throughout the United States to feature that exhibition in partnership with the Osage Nation Foundation. And it has been incredibly well received. I mean, from curators that are colleagues of mine who've reviewed it and said it, you know, we're striving for a standard, not only with just the content that we have that's incredible about the feelings that people have and the understanding that they have of the drum, but also to, you know, put us in there and on the map in terms of our technical standards, our exhibition standards that we have and our interpretive standards. And so working with, like I said, the foundation to make placements of that exhibition throughout for the next 5 years. And we have 19 artists that are part of that. Then we had some of the other things that we've been working on and that we're gonna continue to work on. And I'm just gonna say all of these things, these exhibitions that we're rotating out, we have the Creativity 2020, which was art during the pandemic. And we worked with the Washaji Health Clinic to talk about art as healing. And that was part of the exhibition. So we got to see what was on the minds and the hearts of our people. And they were able to talk to each other in this virtual space and share their ideas about creativity. How has the pandemic shifted your work? How has it shifted your process? And kind of looking around and seeing how we can continue to maintain things happening while there were shutdowns and things like that. So these are all of the kinds of topics that happened. So it was very topical sort of exhibition, but also talking about how we draw upon culture for the strength to sustain us through times such as that. And so in looking at that, these exhibitions, Voices from the Drum, and prior to that, we had to honor and remember Osage veterans of the US military. And with that exhibition, we had, we did a in-house publication of 200 Osage bios. So there were photographs and biographies of veterans. And so these pieces are all parts that will eventually be integrated into the permanent exhibition that we have when we reopen the museum with the renovated space and the expanded space. And so So you have, you know, veterans and then contemporary artists. And the other one was looking at painters. And so with each step, we're strengthening our connections at with artists, with contemporary fine artists, traditional artists, and also the veterans communities, and we're reaching out to the communities. And as we reach out to these communities in a systematic way, we're pulling together the information that we're going to use when we do the permanent exhibition. And what this means is that as the Osage Nation Museum is the oldest tribal museum in the United States, so it's already on the cutting edge, it always has been. So us drawing upon our community sources, we're going to create something that has a strength and a boldness about it that reflects our communities. And the only way that we can do this is through this outreach. So outreach through exhibitions and research. So when we put an exhibition together, we're interviewing all of the people. You know, there's more than 40 interviews that we did for those exhibitions. So we have that data coming together, but we also have partners, community partners that are helping us, that are loaning the items and things like that for these exhibitions. Then the other part I was gonna say is that these all feed into one of the strategic goals, which is the renovation and expansion of the museum. And on that front, we have, and Addie had mentioned this because we did work with the Language and Cultural Center to start off the kickoff for these meetings, to look at the interpretive plan for how we're going to move forward with this exhibition. And we started out in May with community dinners at Gray Horse Hominy in Pawhuska. And then of course we had the dances, and then we went out again after that and did follow-up meetings. And so we documented all the, documented and categorized all the comments. So we're beginning to dig in deeper to the interests of the people and also the needs of our community so that we serve them well. The other part is when we had these smaller groups, we met with the communities again after the community dinners last month. And they were smaller groups, but they were roundtable discussions. And one of the things that was really exciting about that is that people began to have conversations about how we define ourselves within our space outside of a museum, outside of institutions, outside of whatever. And then we use the institution as a place to create those experiences. And so in looking at that, it's like having museum best practices serve our needs as a people and not have our story be driven by external factors, if that makes sense. If it, like looking at anthropological or archaeological or all those kinds of structures, frameworks that people look to or discuss, is we're turning inward and we're looking at the communities and seeing the topics and the content that they want to see. And then we integrate and bring those things in service of what those interests and needs are, and how, and also at the same time, creating those narratives of what we want to see within that new exhibition. And so this is a complex process that brings together our constituencies in a way that we can look at these, and we're kind of putting them in categories of education, exhibition, research, public programs, and hospitality. So when we're finished in looking at these things, we still have these focus groups that we have to do, but what we're looking at are things that are specifically Osage in terms of the stewardship of our culture. And how do we create this space that in a way that honors and respects that culture, that aligns with our own values as a people? And I'll give an example. In Hominy, a person who is a museum professional and also a researcher talked about going into a collection space at a larger museum and it being a sterile environment, and that it was kind of cold, and it made her sad to see our culture represented in that way. So we're looking at what would we do here at the museum to create a space that is welcoming for our people, but is also support and beautiful and supporting of the ways that we understand how our material culture needs to be protected and preserved. There's conservation concerns, but there are also cultural concerns. And that's what we're looking at identifying through these focus groups. And so in looking at all of those things, we are in the next couple of months rounding out the interpretive plan. We have some more meetings that we have to go out to the communities to continue to refine what the interpretive plan is for education. Like I said, education, exhibitions, public programs, in those areas. And then that information will be taken by the architectural firm, which is Seltzer Schaefer, and they're going to be doing visioning sessions to begin to program those spaces with those ideas and those goals and objectives that we've articulated through our community sessions. That makes sense. And so that's where we are in terms of looking at the interpretive plan, which is working with the Paradis Group out of New York. And then that information is being used for the development of the master plan. And so that is currently in the works. The other layer upon that we got funding from ARP funding is to begin exhibition development. For these large scale exhibitions like this that we want to have, it requires a lot of lead time in terms of research and development. And so we've requested funds, but we're unable to get some of them, but we did get some to begin the exhibition development. I'm going to be seeking funds from other sources to have an oral narrative project, oral history narrative project. So, and also to develop and continue to refine and develop the in-house volumes of the Osage veterans' bios. We have 200 now. We'd like to continue to grow that so that when we have the exhibition space, that we will have those produced as a publication that people can purchase, but also it will be a carol, like a research carol that people who come to visit a museum, Osages and also others can come in and do research on different veterans. And this has all been coordinated through the Osage Nation's Veteran Memorial Commission and approved by them in the steps when we're doing these kinds of things. Then the other is the Alati exhibit is another one that we're working on developing out too. So that we have one of the things that we've noticed through our community consultations for people who do not live here in Oklahoma and in the Osage Reservation, there are people who really come to the museum in a way as a touchstone. And so to, you know, find out, you know, research their parents, go to the Alati exhibit, try to find photographs and that sort of thing. And so what we want to do is continue that Alati exhibit and have digital aspects so people can do research on site when we reopen the museum. So there are all these like sort of working parts that we are continuing to develop and will continue to develop over the time until we open that exhibit. So there's the part of creating the actual building and then creating that exhibition that's on the interior of that building. The other thing I wanted to mention is with the two exhibits that we have done in the past, Creativity 2020 and Voices from the Drum, Creativity 2020 already has a virtual component so that people who are not able to come to the museum for whatever reason can go and see that. And then also we are beginning to work with Medics as well on a virtual exhibit of Voices from the Drum. So as it travels throughout the United States, people are able to look at that exhibit online, and it's going to have the same kind of technical and virtual sort of excitement, I guess, that it generates from people. But it's also looking at things from, you know, it's not technology for technology's sake, but it's technology to drive a story. It's technology to help us preserve parts of our culture. It's technology to get provide access to people who live in remote areas. So it's like being mindful about the way that we use these things in terms of where we place and how we use these new sorts of forms and mediums within educational spaces. So later in the fall, we're gonna begin to do the transition over from the interpretive plan to the master plan. And at the beginning of the year, we are supposed to have the probable cost estimates, the concept drawings, and the fundraising material to begin the capital campaign for the museum expansion. The other thing, so those are things, you know, with the exhibitions, public programs, that we have going on that are kind of integrated into also the outreach that we're doing for the interpretive planning of the expansion. And then we have just general operations and things that happen. You know, we have visitors coming in, and we're have some exciting things happening there too. And one of them is, in this past year, just in 2021, we've had 10 recent acquisition proposals for the museum, including an incredible collection of Carl Woodring paintings, early 20th century Osage clothing from Bill Russell and Simon Loha with cradle boards, taxation records from 1910 to 1917 of a Latte's from the Oklahoma County Treasurer. We have two volumes of that. A photograph of John Redcorn was donated, and a speech of Nopawala from Henry Pratt. So as we're doing these things, these are sort of ongoing things that we're doing in terms of acquisitions that become part of our permanent collection that we'll be able to use for our exhibitions that we have as well. The other thing, and I know that people had gotten questions about, you know, this sort of influx of interest because of the book and the movie and that sort of thing, and what work we've done on that. We worked with CNN for the production that Lisa Ling is doing on that in terms of providing resources for historical photographs. They did and then helped them set up some of their filming that they did within the museum. There's quite a number of people who've done films within the museum space too. The Killers of the Flower Moon, we assisted with the research from the historic photograph collection, of course, for the clothing, for the sets, and also the sets, the cityscapes, and that sort of thing. Also, collections visits that they had, looking at the textiles and things like that for period-specific prints on for shirts, and, you know, a variety of things like that. We also helped set up a shoot for the NEA fellow Anita Fields from the Ida Dorg Museum, who's doing a documentary on her. And so all of these things are kind of ongoing sorts of projects that we have. In addition to, you know, this growing interest that I'm sure is just going to get greater is, you know, as I think Dr. Hunter has said, they have similar things. They've done classes, visiting researcher or museum professional for classes at Dartmouth College, University of Virginia, Columbia University, was asked to speak at the International Congress of Art Historians, and also the Bartlesville Historical Society. So we're getting these kinds of requests and fulfilling them, and they're much easier to fulfill through Zoom. So a lot of those are, you know, Zoom sorts of presentations that we've done for these groups and talking about our history, but also talking about the direction that we're going in terms of the development of our narratives and our history through exhibitions and programming at the museum.
Wow.
There's a lot of other things, but I mean, that's kind of hitting the highlights. Also, an interest in working with the National Museum of the American Indian, who wants to work with us on some programming too. So
that is awesome. That's just, I don't know how you find all of the time. With that being said, committee, are there any questions?
Yeah, I have a question, Chair Bighorse.
Yes, Congressman Keene.
Thanks, Ms. Redcorn, for coming on. I'm wondering, with the popularity of the movie, have you guys been approached with any kind of donations? I mean, have you guys seen a big uptick in that, where people just want to give freely to our museum? Or if you could explain, thank you.
Yes, thank you. We have had an interest in people wanting to donate. And just on a daily sort of level, we've just noticed that our donation box fills up a lot faster than it used to. And people are, I mean, I know this is sort of anecdotal, but people are, and I can support it with the figures, you know, and going to our donation box, but, you know, generally it's like a one or a five, but, you know, like 20s and, you know, and tens. And so there's an increase in sort of in that way. And I know that's kind of a smaller scale thing. We have had some people approach us for planned giving when they pass away, that they would like to do planned giving to the museum to support the renovation and expansion of the museum. So we've had a couple of calls like that. And so we want to, when we are able to have the probable cost estimates for the exhibition space in the beginning of the year, then we can design the giving opportunities that people have who want to give at that level. So yes, we have had an increase interest in donations.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Chair, I have a question. It's Revard.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. My question, Marla, is, so I understand the foundation kind of helps you guys with some fundraising, or you may get money from the foundation. I don't know if that's correct, but I was just wondering, how do you work with them to access your money through any donors that they may have for you?
Right now, we don't get direct funds from them. We collaborated like with this Voices from the Drum, and they paid for the exhibition designer and fabrication and production of the exhibition, which is quite expensive. And I managed the project, but the funding came from them directly. That mechanism is not set up yet in terms of what will happen with the renovation expansion.
Okay, Chair, follow up, please.
Yes, follow up.
Thank you. I did attend one of Marla's virtual shows.
Thank you.
With the artwork, and it was really awesome. It was very, it was really good. And I really enjoyed that exhibit, the virtual exhibit. And it was really well put together, had Q&A and everything. So it was really nice. I just have a suggestion. I noticed at a casino that I may have went to and pulled out some money from the ATM, it had an option to donate to some of their, it wasn't the Osage Nations Casino, I was traveling, and it had an option to donate. And one of them was to a museum, to their museum, and the other one was to their nonprofit. And so I just wanted to throw that out there because, and then it showed the amount that they'd received through donations. No, excuse me. Was that the ATM, but you can actually cash in your ticket and get your money out? And it asks you before you dispense your cash if you wanted to donate. And I thought that was really awesome. So I just wanted to put that out there for you.
Thank you.
That because we have our own ATMs, you know, our casinos. I don't think we own them, but we would probably control the contract with whomever it is. I just wanted to give that to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any further question or comment?
Chair.
Yes, Congresswoman Shaw.
Marla, thank you so much for what you do. You guys do a wonderful job, and we're just all very proud of the museum and looking forward to what is to come. I notice on your budget, there really isn't a lot of change from last year's budget. It looks like the biggest change is in the IDC. Is there anything on this budget that you would like us to know? And I also think that we're in the same situation as far as the numbers, so we'll likely have to wait for more information. But is there anything on this budget that you would like us to know?
I think everything is pretty much straightforward and written as we need. I think that it is very similar because these projects, as anyone who's known knows who works on these sort of cultural projects and museum projects, take a long time. So it takes a bit of time, and the structure is the same. Do you know what I mean? So the structure, because that helps
organize the movement forward so that, you know, like I said, would by integrating our exhibit programming, our educational programming with the information that we want to get for the renovation and expansion, we're sort of streamlining things, you know, so that they're kind of working together. And yet some of those goals and objectives that I put forward, they're very similar in the annual plan to last year's because they weren't completed and I'm still working on all of those things. And we've had, you know, some hiring difficulties and things like that. So those are some of the things, that some of the challenges that we've had within this period.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any further questions?
Chair, this is Rebard. I'll be quick.
Yes, ma'am.
Back to the foundation. So you say you're getting ready for the expansion and to start raising money. So I would assume you're going to collaborate with the foundation and they would be like kind of managing. I mean, I can't imagine they would put you in charge of driving or managing a nonprofit style project, but rather our foundation who's actually, well, that's their job to do that for the nation. So, are you in collaboration with them at that level about the development and them championing your nonprofit or your project and getting donors? Are you utilizing them? Because that's huge.
Right.
I think you know that it being in as a museum director, but that has its own area when you are trying to, you know, reach out to get donations for a specific initiative. And so I guess at some point you'll be turning that piece over to the foundation.
I think that in order to do it successfully, there's going to be coordination throughout the whole part. If we could look at the installation of this exhibition as a microcosm of what that project is, because it's probably not even a tenth of the budget, but it's a situation that was set up. I manage the creative direction of it. And then we had a memorandom of understanding, and then they paid for those parts, you know, for that. But that right now is not set up yet, and that will be set up. But I would imagine that you have to have in the decision-making process, it's not just me, it's Catherine Redcorn and Jason Zahn and myself are on that committee that work on directing this project. And so people, because we have a background and experience in museum exhibition development, and I have a little in construction as well, that it'll be important. I might not be understanding your question completely, but when you say we're turning it over to them, I don't understand exactly what you're saying.
Chair, follow up.
Yes, follow up.
So the nation has the Osage Nation Foundation, which is a 501c3. Mm-hmm. And so say I want to donate to the expansion of the museum, I would be donating to the foundation for that initiative. Mm-hmm. Not going up to the museum and saying, here, Marla, or here, Catherine, here, Jason's on, here's my money. Donors have to have an avenue to donate money. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we would be receiving large donations. Mm-hmm. So that would be funneled through the foundation. And then they would champion that initiative. And it would be in their annual plan to say, we are going to help... part of their goals would then to be to help raise money for the museum foundation for the expansion.
Right. Okay. Yes. I hear what you're saying.
Okay. So at some point, then they wouldn't be having you as the director of the museum focusing on managing all those donations. It would be coming through the foundation.
Right. That makes sense to me, but the protocol and the procedure has not been set up yet. And once it is, and I'm not the person who sets it up, it's not my decision to do that. So I will find that out, but I assume it would go something like that.
Okay.
I'm sorry if that's not, but that's kind okay. of what I know right now.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Hey, any further question? If not, the chair would entertain movement.
Chair, this is Rebard. I'll make a motion to postpone section 42 of ONCA 21-98.
Second.
We have a motion to postpone to the call of the chair and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed? Okay. Thank you, Ms. Redcorn. It was a very, very enlightening presentation, and I appreciate it. That being said, section 48. Let's see. Is that Osage War Memorial Board? Do we have anyone on from the Osage? That was the only number I couldn't get. Madam Speaker?
Will I can send you a link for his new patient?
Yes, info? Yes, sir.
I was just wondering, is there anyone on for the Osage War Memorial Board? I hear somebody saying something.
That was me on another call. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
but I just hung up on them. So, I don't see anyone. But if, I can certainly work, I have a meeting coming up and I can certainly work together to get someone, since I just heard a postponement anyways, I would certainly help you get them together or, okay. You know, for the next time around.
Yes, ma'am.
And help them get caught up. Okay. I'll do that. Thank you.
Chair, this is Rebar. Oh, sorry. I'm thinking this is just a budget for their stipends and that. I think the compensation was set per resolution last year because it's every odd year. And it looks like this is just for the stipends for the board members. I just wanted to let everybody know that's what I think this is for.
Okay. I'm not seeing it, but...
Okay, Chair. If that's the case, then yeah, I could see that being... easy squeezy, but if anybody wanted to, because I can't recall them, discuss their fund or any of the, projects or participation they have, then just let me know. Otherwise, that seems easy enough.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I believe that is correct. What second speaker said is correct, and I believe Section 56 is also just the stipends and
right.
miscellaneous.
The TCA?
Yes, sir. Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Mr. Frazier?
That is correct. However, as Second Speaker Rivard said, the stipends are set by resolution every other year. These were set by ONCR 20-30, And it says that the War Memorial Board budget, their travel line can only go up to $3,000. It looks like they have $11,438 budgeted there, so that would need to be reduced to $3,000.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Mr. Johnson?
Yes, I believe it's that increase has to do with the opening of the, and the speaker can correct me because I'm sure I'm going to get this wrong, the National Native American Veterans Museum in Washington, D.C., it's going to be travel for that if it still goes on. And I believe that's the case, but I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
Chairman.
Yeah, Madam Speaker.
Yes, sir. And that could be the case. However, that will not be taking place this year. It'll be in 2022, they've delayed it again. But that could be the, I need to hold on.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Mr. Frazier.
I'm not saying that it's not needed. I'm just saying I don't think it's legally allowable. It says in the resolution that you can only budget up to $3,000 for the War Memorial Board. But I would, maybe legal counsel would like to weigh in on that.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Mr. Johnson.
I believe the speaker is correct. I want to say that when we did the budgets, that was the intent, and then the cancellation for this year came, and it's been put off to November 22, I think. So I don't have any issue reducing it to the $3,000 as according to the resolution, simply because, well, none of us are going to DC this November. I'm again, 95% sure the speaker's right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay. I have a question again. Sorry.
Yes. Yes, Madam Speaker.
All right. I'm sorry. I'm scrambling to be looking at exactly what you're talking about because where Jordan is referencing, because where as we don't need it right now, it would be needed in this upcoming budget because it's still hopefully going to happen.
Yes, ma'am, but I think that would be the 23 budget.
Yes. So, yes, that's true. That's what I'm saying for this next yeah. coming year.
Yes, ma'am.
Budget, because we would want to get their situation going early on. And, you know, there's been discussion to include, you know, lots of veterans, open it up, hopefully take, you know, lots of Osage veterans with us. So, okay.
Okay. So
22.
What do we need to do with section 48 and 56?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Jordan?
With section 48, you could amend ONCA 21-98, section 48, line 2140, strike $11,438 and insert $3,000.
Madam Appropriations Chair, Second Speaker.
Yes, sir.
Did you catch that?
Well, yes. Yes, I did catch that. So I guess the IDC is being charged to travel and their stipends. So can you give me a second? I'm not ready to do. Are you asking me to do an amendment?
No. We'll work on the amendment between now and the next meeting?
Because we can, I mean, I can do it real quick, and then we could move this section out, because I don't know that we're waiting on anything from this, from the board, unless you guys want to invite them and have them come and talk. Like Speaker mentioned, nobody really answered her question. What do you guys want to do? And then we could do it next time.
Yeah, I was kind of following what the speaker had suggested. So it's up to the committee.
Chair.
Oh, go ahead.
Congresswoman Shaw.
Well, I think that would be fine. It would be nice to hear from them. I don't think it's essential based on this budget, but if there's time and desire to do so, I'm fine with that. Okay.
Mr. Chair, this is Baker. Hey, yeah, I would just agree with what Second Speaker Ebard said, that if she wanted to go ahead and make that little amendment right now, we could go ahead and take care of that very quickly and move on. Thank you.
Chair, this is Rebart. I don't mind. Can you just give me
sure.
Give me like, I don't know, 10 minutes. Does that sound good? I can just, is that okay? Because I'm not ready and I'll get it done though.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
We're going to take a recess for approximately 10 minutes. Without objection, we are in recess for 10 minutes.